This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. By 1939, Sergei Rachmaninoff was arguably the most famous musician in the world. His triple-threat career as composer, conductor, and pianist kept him in constant demand, to the point where he was forced to stop composing altogether due to his punishing performance schedule. He was also growing tired of his life in Pullman cars and hotel rooms, and many of his more recent compositions had been less than warmly received. The exception was his 1934 Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, which was an immediate and lasting success, and which was turned into a ballet in 1939 by his friend and neighbor Michel Fokine. Fokine was the principal choreographer of Serge Diaghilev's Ballet Russe and creator of such ballet classics as The Dying Swan, Les Sylphides, The Firebird, Petrushka, and La Spettre de la Rose. He and Rachmaninoff had discussed working together as early as 1914, but it took a quarter century to finally make it happen. Rachmaninoff was so enthusiastic about the Paganini ballet that he even allowed changes in his music to suit the choreography. In the summer of 1940, the Rachmaninoffs had rented an estate on Long Island, where their neighbors included his former secretary, a representative of the Steinway Company, Vladimir and Wanda Horowitz, and Michel Fokine and his wife. The estate was large enough that Rachmaninoff had a room in which he could practice and compose without being heard, and compose he did, for the first time in several years. On August 21st, Rachmaninoff wrote to Eugene Ormandy, conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra. "Last week I finished a new symphonic piece, which I naturally want to give first to you and your orchestra. It is called Fantastic Dances. I shall now begin the orchestration. Unfortunately, my concert tour begins on October 14th. I have a great deal of practice to do, and I don't know whether I shall be able to finish the orchestration before November. I should be very glad if, upon your return, you would drop over to our place. I should like to play the piece for you." End quote. The Philadelphia was the first orchestra Rachmaninoff had conducted on his first visit to America in 1909, and he'd been back often in the years since. It was the orchestra with which he had recorded his first three piano concertos and the Paganini Rhapsody, and it was the only orchestra he ever conducted on records. The Philadelphians had given three of his premieres, and it was natural that he wanted to offer his newest score to his favorite orchestra and its then relatively new music director. But Rachmaninoff also had another artist in mind for his new work, his neighbor Michel Fokine. After the success of Paganini, Rachmaninoff was eager for another collaboration with Fokine, and in fact, Fokine heard the score even before Ormandy did. But he died in August 1942, and Rachmaninoff mourned an unrealized work, as well as a friend, compatriot, and fellow artist. Rachmaninoff kept working on the piece, though, now known as Symphonic rather than Fantastic Dances. Most of the third movement was scored while he was on the road, and wherever Rachmaninoff checked into a hotel, he was handed a package of proof sheets to correct. When Ormandy got the parts for the first rehearsal, he mentioned to Rachmaninoff that the bowings written in for the string players looked extremely difficult. "Ah, yes," said Rachmaninoff, "Fritz did those for me." That would be the great violinist Fritz Kreisler, who had been one of Rachmaninoff's closest friends since 1918. first movement bears the unusual marking of non allegro. Rachmaninoff was thinking of character as much as tempo. Allegro literally means cheerful or good-humored. This is no ordinary quick opening movement. The quietly threatening start leads to a sinister march. A slower middle section is followed by the return of the march music, which leads to an expansive coda. This is where Rachmaninoff drops in his first surprise, a new melody, beautiful and poignant, and accompanied by the tinkling combination of piano, harp, glockenspiel, flute, and piccolo. This melody reaches back to one of the most painful moments in Rachmaninoff's life, the crashing failure in 1897 of his first symphony. It sent him into therapy, and it took 3 years of hypnosis before he could compose again. The first symphony disappeared from circulation, and Rachmaninoff did nothing to discourage stories that he had destroyed it. But this melody is, in fact, the principal theme of that old symphony, translated from stormy to serene. Rachmaninoff probably never imagined that anyone would recognize it, let alone hear the piece again, but a copy of a two-piano transcription and then a set of orchestral materials turned up in Leningrad, and in 1945 that first symphony had its second premiere. The code was broken. The second movement is in waltz tempo, but it's a waltz that constantly shifts between the real and the ghostly, and Rachmaninoff's mastery of orchestral color contributes to the source of mystery. The finale is another quick movement with a slower middle section. And Rachmaninoff brings back one of his musical obsessions, a melody that he quotes again and again in his music, the Gregorian Dies Irae from the Mass for the Dead. Diabolical fiddle tunings straight out of Danse Macabre lead to its first appearance by the trumpet, and then the full orchestra. Shortly before the end of the movement comes another coded passage. Rachmaninoff wrote "Alleluia" at the top of the page. Here, too, he's reaching back across the years to the all-night vigil, his Vespers of 1915. This is the music he wrote when his first hopes for a ballet collaboration with Michel Fokine had fallen through. Rachmaninoff did not intend this to be a secret quotation like the one from the First Symphony, though it seems to have remained so for many years, with commentators making respectful or puzzled speculation about it. It wasn't until 1976 that this Alleluia was matched up with its predecessor. This was Rachmaninoff's final score, and given what we know of his state of mind in 1940, it is likely that he knew it would be. The symphonic dances stand as his valedictory, culminating with a hymn of thanks and praise. The reception to the piece was mixed, and he died just 2 years later. But it might not be too much to imagine that the symbolic victory of the exultant theme over the Dies Irae is Rachmaninoff's own affirmation of the faith that death shall be swallowed up in victory. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.